them beer cans gonna be buried in them landfills. No deposit, no sad songs, and no return. Yeah, it's only gonna take about a minute or so till the factories blot the sun out. You gonna have to turn your lights on just to see. And then the lights are gonna be neon, saying fly our jets to paradise, and the whole damn world's gonna be made of styrene.
When you hear the night wind sigh and you see the wattens flying through the gray polluted sky, there won't be no country music, there won't be no rock and roll, cause when they take away our country, they'll take away our soul.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Good evening. Earlier you heard the voices of the dead. You really did. And now you're hearing stories about the dead. The whole thing is very disturbing. There's no two ways about it. But that's what it's all about on this night. Not all of them are Casper, you know. And that's really what we're talking about. Those, well, we're talking about entity attacks. And you'll notice there's no shortage of reporters on the subject. Now, what that says to me is that, indeed, not all of them, or even most of them, are Casper and friendly at all. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I was working in Germany in 1980, and I worked there for a year, and I had an apartment on a caserne, which is a military for the U.S. government.
Yes.
And my apartment was in an old barracks that had been used for the SS. It used to be an SS barracks.
Right.
And I had a really nice apartment. It was one bedroom, and I moved in, and I was single. Immediately, I started having very sexy, sensual dreams with a man who was dressed with boots. He had those really high boots, and he had like a white pirate shirt on.
Really?
And there was a woman in the background, and we would have sex practically every night. And I just thought, wow, I must be very lonely. I never woke up from them, but I had these...
No, you're a million miles from being alone. This is actually quite common.
And then my girlfriend came over like a month later to live with me, and she got a job. And she woke up the first night there screaming because she saw him standing in her doorway. And he tried to have sex with her, and she wanted nothing to do with it.
We've had like multiple witnesses now, several calls tonight with multiple witnesses, and here's another one. So she wouldn't have a thing to do with it, huh?
No, and then my mother came to visit, and the first morning my mother, I was 32, my mother was 56, and the first morning she got up and she said, well, I must be missing your father very much because I had this dream last.
Well, by the time your mom got there, didn't you feel somewhat incumbent on your part to warn people?
I didn't even think of warning her. I mean, I was just so excited about having her there. It never dawned on me. And so I told, then of course, my girlfriend, Joan, and my mom, and we sat there, and we all compared stories, and he looked the same, and the woman was in the, I don't know what her job was, maybe just to stand and watch, but it was the strangest thing. But when I did leave, I did tell the woman who, and it was a woman who got the apartment, I told her
good,
about it.
Good for you. At least you warned somebody.
I had to warn her. Yeah, I'm, I, I stayed. I only stayed there a year, but and there was nothing I could do about it. You know, I couldn't keep him away. I couldn't figure out how to do it. Once we figured out what it was, you know, and it was a creepy building anyway. I mean, it had like four levels down below, and you heard strange things, and that was where the laundry room was, and you didn't want to do laundry at night. So,
well, it was obviously the place. I mean, these others had not been having previous experiences until...
No, none of us had.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. There you have it again. And why wouldn't sex be a part of it? It is a central part of all human beings' lives, right? And a large driving emotional physical force that is in all of our lives, right? So it makes sense. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Following with your topic here, I just wanted to share a story that happened to me back in 1996.
Where are you, actually?
Oh, now? I'm Robert, and I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay, Rob.
And I had just gone to Dubuque, Iowa, mm-hmm. with some friends. We were working on the 96 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of a few days, I heard all of these people talking about a guy named George. And they didn't really clue me in the beginning, but I figured out that George was a ghost that lived in one of the people's homes. And apparently George followed them around and rode around in the car. And sometimes they could see George and sometimes they couldn't. And they talked about this consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised a very fundamental Christian. I didn't believe such things were possible. I still retain my beliefs, except on this particular subject. And I just felt compelled to tell them that, you know, stuff like that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mocked them, and I did it pretty much in an arrogant, not nice way.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't believe them at all. And then one night we were doing some election work, and they ran out for pizza, and I was watching some news station, and there was a stack of papers that we had near the entertainment center. And they started to, I can't even explain what happened. It sounds like it's out of Ghostbusters, but these papers raised up on the side and they started flying around and swirling and going, and I thought it was a joke. I thought, you know, there's candid camera around here. These people are playing a joke on me. And mm-hmm. and I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something to the effect of, you know, stop playing around, guys, or what kind of joke. And the
where is Alan Funt?
Yeah, right, exactly. I was looking for him, or his son, Peter.
Yeah.
And they started flying at me. I mean, the papers were like swirling around me in a tornado kind of effect, and I was batting them down, and I was terrified. And I just remember saying that the one thing I do remember saying very clearly is, okay, George, I believe.
Really?
As soon as I said that, the papers stopped, and I was breathing heavy, and I was horrified.
Well, you're terrified. Only about the fourth caller this morning who got his or her experience from mocking the
yeah.
whole thing.
And, you know, so something else, and I don't know if you've ever heard of this happening, and I had never related this to any kind of spiritual experience or ghost experience, but I've had a problem for probably close to 10 years, and it comes and goes, and sometimes it's every night, and sometimes it doesn't happen for over a year, and usually it's very early in the morning, where I wake up, and I feel like my mind is completely and totally awake. I can't move anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can't move my hands. And the first time, sometimes I feel like I'm going to die.
Well, there is...
Is that terrifying?
Of course. There is a condition, of course, called sleep paralysis. And that may not be ghostly at all. However, at the same time, we do seem to get an awful lot of stories that begin that way, don't we? There is a certain diagnosed medical condition of sleep paralysis that does occur. Of course, the rest of this doesn't go with it. Usually, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Miss Art?
Yes.
Oh, okay. In 1955, I was 18 years old, and my father died. He was only 50.
Uh-huh.
And those days, you could have the viewing or the wake, as we called it, at the house if you had a big enough house.
Sure.
So he was laid out at the house, and for 3 days, there were people coming and going. So finally it was over with, and about 2 weeks later, my sister and I were going down the street, and this Italian couple. We lived in an Italian neighborhood. We were Italian, too. And Tony called me over. And a lot of the Italians had a nickname for me because I had red hair, so they called me Cavarouche, which means red cabbage. So the older guys always called me that. So he said, Cavarouche, come over here. So we went over, and he said, are you mad at me? And I said, no, why would I be mad at you? And he said, well, you know, he said, we went to the wake, but he said our son wouldn't go. His son was about in his 30s or 40s, and I said, I wouldn't have known if the president showed up. I said, I was too distraught. And I said, besides, I wouldn't be mad about something like that. And he says to me, well, you know, I'm going to be next. Will you promise me that you'll come to the wake? And I said, Tony, will you stop it? And his wife is trying to shoo-shoo him. And he says, no, please, promise me you'll come. I said, okay, I'll come to it. So we left. And as I was leaving, he said, hey, Cavarouche, he said, I promise you that I will give you a sign that I know you're there. So I just waved him off and we left. Well, 2 months later, Tony died. So my sister and I went down the street, went in the house, and there were a lot of people around, so we had to wait before we could go to the casket and, you know, say our prayers. And so I was glancing up at the flowers. There were lots of flowers, and there was a beautiful spray of yellow flowers, and it had, like, worked into a clock, which gave the time of day that Tony died.
Right.
I had never seen one like that. I have since seen a lot of them. So I said to my sister, look at that. He died at exactly 10:20, and that's the time Dad died. And she said, wow. So we finally got up to the casket, and I went to kneel, and just as I went to kneel, I felt something strange was going to happen, and just then the spray of flowers with the clock fell off the wall, hit the casket, hit our feet because we tried to jump back, and the undertaker happened to be there delivering chairs, so he came running over, and he says, oh, he said, I'm so sorry, are you hurt? I said, no, we're okay. And he said, that's never happened before. He said, I guess I'm going to have to put it back up. Well, we left, and my sister turned to me, and she said, because I forgot all about what Tony said to me, and she said, do you remember what Tony said to you, that if you showed up, he'd give you a sign?
Yes.
So I don't believe in coincidences. That's never happened before. The flowers looked like they were up there pretty good, and so I think that,
that was Tony's sign. Oh, no, I think that was Tony's sign, all right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But again, I'm not so sure how comfortable it makes me feel with the nature of what we've been learning about death. It's
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, sure is.
I listen to your program all the time, and I have a lot of questions going through my mind that I never had before because, like you said, well, we were Catholics, so we believed you die, you go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But so many things have happened to me that, you know, I know that there's an afterlife, but I think that Tony was determined to let me know.
Tony did. Thank you very much for the call. Well, yes, so much disturbing about, it's so contrary to what most of us believe about the nature of death, right? We've got the, I don't know, maybe you can throw in purgatory some, and then heaven, and then you got hell, and you've got all that stuff, but none of what we've been hearing, none, from the electronic voice phenomena to the stories to any of the rest of it, would suggest that that's what it is. Not to me, anyway. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What is your first name?
I'm Sandy.
Sandy. All right. Where are you, Sandy?
Juneau, Alaska.
Juneau, Alaska. Has it begun to get cold up there yet?
Well, we've had a couple of real hard frosts, 20 degrees at night.
Oh, well, that's cool.
But right now it's around in the 50s. So, and we have a lot of rain, you know, we're a rainforest.
Oh, I know. Most people think Alaska's all equals. Well, Juneau's, you know, way down there.
Yeah.
The capital and all that.
And it's right on the ocean, and we get a lot of warm currents.
People don't know that your town is accessible only by air or sea. I mean, that's it, right?
That's correct. They keep saying they're thinking about building a road, but it would be a very expensive project.
Yes, it would. So Juneau is a very isolated town.
Yes,
anyway, what's your story?
Well, this occurred about 20 years ago. I was going through a really bad divorce. There was a lot of violence in the marriage and stuff. And And the doctor had given me some medication to help me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was lying in bed, and I was lying on my stomach, and all of a sudden, I felt a very heavy pressure sit on the side of the bed right next to me. And I tried to get up to, I was concerned that it was my soon-to-be ex-husband maybe sitting next to me or whatever.
Sure.
But I was trying to turn around to see, but I couldn't. And all of a sudden, I heard this, it was like a woman's laugh, and it, like a woman who was a really heavy smoker.
Uh-huh.
And she laughed.
A raspy laugh.
Yes. Very, very gravelly sounding,
yes,
is what I call it. And I tried to sit up again, and it was like she flung herself backwards on top of me, and it was just laughing and laughing. So I tried to reach my arm around, and I grabbed the hair on the head, and I pulled it, and the head came off.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm holding it by the hair, and I look at it, and it's just a real wrinkly old face. And
most people would be inclined to drop it like a hot potato.
Well, I fainted, actually. It woke up while it was in my hand, and that's when I fainted.
What, say what? It woke up in your hand?
And so then I came to. My dog was whimpering and sniffing at me.
Well, hey, I'm with you. I'd faint, too. I'd faint. Dead out.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, there were a few strands of hair in my hand.
Oh, my God.
And so for a minute there, I wanted to throw them away, to just throw them out and get rid of it right away.
At the very least.
But I thought, I'm going to put them on the nightstand. And so I did. And I sat up in bed for a long, long time. Finally, the dog fell asleep, and she seemed pretty calm. And so I went back to sleep, fortunately. And so I woke up in the next morning, and I remembered what had happened. And I looked over to the dresser where I'd put the hairs,
yes,
and they were gone. But I was so very terrified.
Oh, my God. Well, that qualifies as one of the worst I've heard. Thank you very much. Take care. Oh, now that's bad. That's really bad. You grab at a ghost's hair, and you grab it by the hair, and the head comes off in your hand. And then the head wakes up, and then our caller faints. And I don't blame our caller a bit. Good morning. You're on the air, Ghost to Ghost AM with Art Bell. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello. Where are you, sir?
Well, I'm traveling. I'm just east of St. Louis, traveling to Iowa.
Okay.
I have a good story here. I got plenty of stories, but my bizarre story is when I was 18 years old, back in 1990, I was a whole bunch of my buddies, and we got a house rented right out of high school, and had a lot of fun, and one night, my buddy and I were staying up late, and talking about stories and drinking a little bit, and he decided to spend the night, so I had the biggest room in the house, and I had a couch in there.
Uh-huh.
So he decided to sleep on the couch. Well, I went to sleep about 3 o'clock in the morning, and some odd reason, I woke up at 6 a.m., and there he was, elbows on the knees, and why is the ghost? I said, hey, what's on there, bud? He says, you need to take me home, and you need to take me home now. So I took him home, and later that day, he gives me a call, and he goes, you need to come over. I need to tell you a story.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, I went over to his house, and he says, you went to sleep. Well, I didn't go to sleep at all. I go, well, what happened? He goes, well, I was laying there, my face was facing the couch, and he says, I heard this woman's voice saying, I can't sleep. And he's like, what the heck? You know, so he turns around, and there's this lady standing there, and she goes, I can't sleep. And she's looking right at him. And reality hits him, and he's like, whoa. And he jumps back, and she jumps back, and she flies out of the room. And he realizes there was no legs. And he was awake until I woke up.
Did you say no legs?
Yeah. She, floated away.
Just floated out of the room?
out of the room.
Or through something. To
out of the door. Door was open. She went out the door.
Got it.
And what makes the story even more bizarre is the fact when he was telling me the story, I was kind of like, okay, whatever. He says, I was telling my dad about this story. And he says, what house was that? And he explained to where that house was at. He goes, well, his dad used to be a cop. Mm-hmm. My rookie year as a cop, I got a call in that house. And a lady was shot in that house and killed through the window, that front window there in the house.
Yeah. Well, a lot of this activity seems to circle around those who died, how should I put it, unexpectedly. I guess we all, most of us die unexpectedly, but in a violent way, suicides seem to linger. There's more to this world we live in, than is apparent on the surface. And if tonight's program doesn't prove that, I don't know what does. From the high desert in the darkness, this is Coast to Coast AM on Halloween, or is it now the Day of the Dead?
As bold as a knight should be. He rode an old gray mare called Bess, searching for a damsel in distress, just to see if he could set her free.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and all of you, of course, what we're talking about tonight with you are entity attack stories. That is to say, people have actually been attacked by some sort of entity. And we've heard plenty of them, that's for sure. More straight ahead. This evening's program was designed to get you thinking, and I would presume it's probably done that. By the way, if you saw my webcam photo, Richard in Oregon, Wisconsin says, "Hey, Art, nice hat you're wearing in your webcam. You can never underestimate the power of the cylindrical pyramid." First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, my name's Jason. I'm calling from Ark City, Kansas. I listen to you on 98.7 KFH.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Just tonight I was taking my kids trick-or-treating, and I remember this story my friend told me quite some time ago. I walked by this same area tonight. It's a house that's been bulldozed here in town. It's part of the college now that's here in town. I was walking by it one time when I was about 13 or 14 years old with my friend Ron.
Yes.
And he was telling me about living in that house when he was younger. And he was laying in his bed one night watching TV. And straight out from the wall came a little boy and his dog. And it was obviously a ghost. He said it had... It was opaque and had red eyes, and it was just very scary to him. And he pulled the covers up over his head, and he felt the breath of this little kid. you know, bending over and looking at him.
Aye, aye, aye.
And so he, you know, he told me this story, and we were walking by the house. And right about that time, I said, you know what, I don't believe a ghost anyway. And my feet came straight up out from underneath me. I fell flat on my face.
Yes.
And it was like a magnet had latched onto my heels and pulled me straight down. It was one of the craziest experiences I think I've ever had.
This, sir, is a recurring theme tonight. Those who mock seem to, well, not make out too well.
It seems to be that way, definitely.
Doesn't it? All right. Thank you very, very much for the call. Apparently, you can be skeptical and safe, but if you move and cross over the line into mocking, well, you've been listening, right? Yeah. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello there, Art. How you doing?
I'm fine. What is your first name?
My first name is Clint.
Clint. Okay, Clint. What's up?
All right. Okay. Well, here's my story. I haven't told it for a long time, so I'm going to see if I can remember it. This happened to me back in high school. I'm 35 now, so it's been a while. But as I got older and I realized that more people probably wouldn't believe me, I stopped telling it. So in high school, I had some friends that lived out of town. We lived in a small town in northern Canada. And I had some friends, and their father was a guide, and he would go out in the woods and hunt for animals with you know, people that came into town or whatever. And he was out of town, so we were staying with my friends. And we were going into town to pick up some groceries and whatnot one late night. And as we were driving, I started feeling really panicky and really nervous. So I said, can you stop the car for a second? I think I'm having a panic attack or something. And I've never had one before, so I didn't know what was wrong.
Right.
So we pulled over, and I get out, and I, you know, I was outside, so I thought I'd do what guys do when they're outside of the car, you know, at night.
Yes.
And the car started to move, so I knew that somebody was moving around inside of the car. So I went up, and one of the guys, his name was Kevin, he was getting into the driver's seat, and he's like 14 or 15 years old at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was winter, it was snow, and I said, you know, I don't want to go back if you're driving. I just, because I have this weird feeling, maybe that's what I was worried about, was a car accident or something.
Yes.
So he goes, well, we're going to go back to the house, grab some money, because they had forgotten some money, and we'll come back and pick you up on the way back, because I said I just walked. So I said, okay. So anyways, they take off, and I'm just kind of walking, and I'm still feeling kind of nervous, but I'm okay. And there's houses here and there, but it's out in the woods, so they're far apart. You can see the lights
yes.
in the snow. And all of a sudden, I see the headlights turn around, and the car's way up around the lake, and the car's turning back, coming, it's about a mile away. So I thought, I'm going to play a joke on them, and I'm going to run up on the side of the hill in the snow. They'll go by, they won't see me, and they'll think, where did Clint go?
Right.
So I ran up, I'm standing on the side of the road, and I got my hands on my knees, and I'm kind of giggling. And all of a sudden, I don't know if this is related or not, but my vision went blurry, and as the car went by, I thought I saw a hearse driving by. And I thought, okay, that was supposed to be them, but that was a big black car.
Yes.
And then I heard somebody say my name from behind me. They went, Clint, really quietly like that.
Yes.
So I stood up, and I ran down this little hill out onto the road, and I was standing there, and I was really scared, and I was 16, 17. I started to cry because I was, you know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to run because I couldn't see anything, and suddenly I saw two white figures. And I thought maybe it was a stop sign or something because they were just standing there and they were white in the distance. Then they started moving and coming towards me and they were yelling my name.
Yes.
So I knew then which way to run. So I ran the other way towards the city. And I ran and I ran, and it was about half a mile from the city actually at this point. So I got to the city. At the very edge of the town was a skating rink. And my friends were in the car going around in circles yelling my name. So I ran up and I jumped in the car and I said, go, go, go. And so they just started driving quickly down the road, and I told them what I had seen, and I thought maybe it was them yelling my name that I had heard, but it was different in my head. And I said, why did you guys turn around and come back? And they were looking scared at this point, and they said, well, we were driving, and suddenly they turned and looked at each other and said, do you feel that? And he said, yeah, Clint's in trouble. So they turned their car around to come back and get me.
Huh. Wow.
That's my
yeah, that's story. And that's a good one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. This is my first time calling, so I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, that's all right. Relax, take a deep breath, and fire away. What is your first name?
My name's Chet.
Okay.
And I'm calling from Virginia.
Yes, sir.
And this happened happened in the year 2000 in August. And it was one night I went to bed, and it was sweltering Virginia summer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the room got really, really, really cold. I was lying in bed. And some of your other callers noted a paralysis. Well, I felt a total paralysis, total fear, you know, straight through me. And the bed started shaking.
Huh, just like in the movies, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't violent. I mean, it wasn't picking up or anything, but it was shaking. It woke me up.
Good enough.
Yes. I opened my eyes, and I turned to the side, and I saw a little girl. She must have been like 8 or 9, blonde hair, and looked into her eyes, and her eyes were empty.
Empty?
Yeah, empty. You know how people have emotions in their eyes and whatnot?
Yes, of course, yes. You can see you can see life in eyes, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this girl was smiling, but her eyes were empty.
I got it.
Well, at that time, I closed my eyes, and I started praying, and everything stopped. And, I mean, I thought nobody was going to believe me. But I thought, you know, I was all shook up. So later that day, I went to go tell my mom. And my mom says, oh, so it's happened to you. I said, what? She said, yes, both me and your grandmother have had the same thing happen. Well, it turns out, you know, my mom's side was very religious where my dad's side wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got married about a year and a half later, and my wife, she said the same thing happened to her.
Well, all right, there you are. Again, ladies and gentlemen, multiple persons either affected by the same event or witness to them. There's been a lot of that tonight. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, my name is Richard. Listen to KFYI 550 in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, beautiful program. Subscribe to the newsletter and everything. I've got lots of experiences with ghosts. Probably too much to talk about on the radio.
All right, just give me your best one.
Okay. One time I was visiting. I was with friends in Beijing, China.
Yes.
And I was in my hotel room, the Huabei Hotel, to be exact. And while I was in there, I was taking a shower. The AC was on inside the place, very low. But you could see some steam in the shower. But what happened was, there was a knock on my door inside the shower, well, outside the bathroom. The door pushed open, and it got super cold in the bathroom. And I'm standing in the hot water of the shower. And a gigantic plume comes into the bathroom, blows open the shower curtain. I knew right there what it was. I knew definitely it was an entity, and it felt like it maybe even might have been a warrior, an old Chinese warrior from way back. And then I put a whole bunch of those red Chinese dream catchers around my room, and it went away after that.
Yeah, I think I would have too. I utilize dream catchers as well.
Yes. I got one more quick experience to try to tell you about. I've had a lot of them at Honolulu Airport. I worked in Hawaii for a while. Even had friends who I worked with and held down out there while working. But there's an instance where I was working in an apartment complex doing security in Hawaii. And I broke the sink, the handle to the sink, when I was on duty on this first night on my post out there. And the handle broke up into a whole bunch of pieces in my hand. And I was walking around that same building later that night, and I could feel something weird already over there just to begin with. I'm walking down. I'm looking down on the floor of one of the hallways I'm walking through, and right there, smack dab in the middle of the floor, is a handle, just like the one that fits on that sink that I broke. So I didn't have to make an incident report or write it up or anything. I just put the handle on the sink, and I said, thank you, whoever gave me this.
And went on your way, yeah. Got it. All right, well, I'm not sure what to make of that one. Providence, some kind of providence. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. What is your first name?
Dimas.
Okay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have two, and they're real quick. The first one, I'm an avid bike rider. I'm in Sun City, California, riding up the hill on my way home. And I, all of a sudden, everything stopped. I don't remember actually falling, but I had, when I did wake in my bed, I was scabbed on my shoulder, And my bike was perfectly put in the backyard where I always put it. And I'm in my house, I'm in the bed, and the door's locked, nothing is touched. The only odd thing about it is I had a perfectly round circle on my, I would say, my wrist. Everyone always asks me, what is that, what happened, you know, but it isn't consistent with a fall, and it has a little right off the right of the center of it, there's a line in it, as though there was something in it. I know it seems odd to say, but that's exactly what's going on. And that, I mean, after it happened, I just forgot about it or whatever. But the more I think about it, it is extremely odd for me to just, as much as I ride a bike, just to fall. I don't remember falling. I don't remember any type of pain. But what is extremely odd is I woke up in my bed on my back. My bike is perfectly where I put it all the time. And then I have this circle as if it was a mark. Something on my wrist.
Pretty weird, all right. I'm not sure what you could attribute that to, though. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Paris calling from New York City.
Yes, Paris.
In 1997, I was up in Warren, Rhode Island, recording an album. I'm a musician.
Yes, sir.
And usually at the end of the day after recording, I would go out running every night. And
sure.
One night, you know, maybe a month into the recording, I went out running, and I would run along this bike path. It would go about five blocks before it got to this wooded area, and the bike path would go down by the ocean,
mm-hmm.
where there were no lights, which was not really a big deal, and I would run. It was about an hour run, and I would do this every night. And when I came to the wooded area, it was pretty foggy, and I tried to run down the path, but something compelled me not to. Like, it was definitely fear completely stopping me, and I thought that was ridiculous, and I kept trying to run down the path, and I couldn't do it. I literally was standing there going, this is ridiculous, I'm a grown man.
Huh.
But I actually went back to the studio and just ran around the block a couple of times. Then the very next night, I went to do the same run, and I went down the path. It was no big deal, but on my way back, when I cleared the wooded area and got back into the city, there was this street light that lights up the area right there, and there was this big dumpster, and just as I got to the dumpster, a man ran out from behind the dumpster and ran straight towards me. He was wearing huge boots and a big long trench coat, and he was totally silhouetted, and as he came toward me, he disappeared just as he got to me, and I had like braced myself to fight.
Oh,
I was like looking on all directions, and he was gone, and I literally ran back to the studio as fast as I can, the four blocks. I ran to the studio and swung the door open, and he was like, What happened? And I was like, I didn't even know what to say because it just seemed so absurd. They all felt like I got into a fight. And I must stress that I was kind of like the skeptic of the band, you know.
And now?
And I'm completely not skeptical at all, but the guy who ran the recording studio looked at me and he goes, was he wearing a long black trench coat and a hat? I said, yes, he was. He said, that was Mr. Colt. I said, Mr. Colt? He goes, everybody sees Mr. Colt around here.
And Mr. Colt is?
He went on to explain that it's the man who created the Colt 45. He had apparently died in Warren, Rhode Island. Later on, when I was back in New York after we made the record, I actually went online and looked him up, and I saw a photograph of him. And even though I only saw him in silhouette, I definitely recognized the form and the jacket and the big coat he was wearing. And that's the story.
Appreciate it, too. Thank you very much. Take
You're
care.
Welcome.
Have a good night. What's left of it? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Calling from the Bay Area, San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
I had, when I was growing up, lived in this house that was built in the late 1800s, and always felt something or presence around when I was a teenager, like something where you just kind of glance, look up the stairway, and see something.
You know, sir, you know, not very long ago on this program, we had somebody on who said that everybody has the ability to know when they're being stared at. Most everybody has that. If, you know, if you're standing and somebody's
right.
staring at you from behind you where you mm-hmm. cannot see them, you can feel their presence.
Right. Well, we my mom, kind of a bohemian, late 60s, early 70s, went out, had this artist as a boyfriend, and he had brought this new painting in and hung it up on the wall. It was a figure, a humanoid figure, kind of chained to some abstract buildings.
Yes.
Well, a lot of things used to started happening around the house. We'd wake up in the morning, all the furniture would be overturned, magazines thrown around. Next night, something else would happen. All the dishes would be out of the cupboard and so on. Well, my mom had a lot of friends in the arts and so on, and she knew this medium. And this medium came in, and several of them tried to contact this ghost that they thought was or entity or something that was causing all the problems. And they wrote on a piece of paper, they all held a pencil by the eraser and by this medium asked questions. Well, they asked what it was upset, and it said one word wrote across the paper, chained, asked what the name was. It wrote Leonard.
Did you say chained?
Chained, yes.
Huh.
And asked what his name was, and it wrote Leonard on the paper, asked how old he was. He said 10. Well, later my mom went to the Historical Society and looked up who built the house, found out that he had a son named Leonard that had died of rheumatoid fever.
Oh, brother.
So we took the painting out of the house, and nothing ever happened after that.
All right. Well, that's quite enough. Believe me, the show is over. We have got to go. This has been Ghost to Ghost on Halloween, now the Day of the Dead. From the high desert, Crystal Gale always has just the right words to get us out of here with. It's been a great weekend, and I hope you'll think about what you heard.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert.